The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek in the house. In for Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, again, from the photo shoot yesterday. He had to change a couple blazers. That was too much for him. He's taking the rest of the week off. He doesn't like photo shoots, Wyatt.
I envy him right now. He's probably asleep, dreaming about...
He actually had a wonderful time. He had the time of his life. He was like, it was so awkward and fun at the same time.
I felt bad because, you know, I did the classic, when your parent tells you to bring something, you completely forget 5 minutes later.
Oh, yeah.
He asked me to bring a putter from downstairs. I got up and I'm like, oh, sorry. Can we go back down? He goes, no. I could sense the disappointment in
it. I wanted to ham it up. We have Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke still to come this hour. Talk baseball with us a little later on. Will Hill will do the same. He's got baseball picks and basketball picks for us on a full day of Major League Baseball, daytime, nighttime baseball. Love Wednesdays. We'll also have Matt Brown on. He's got NFL draft thoughts. Just 8 days prior to the NFL draft, and Mike Pritchard standing by. Real quick, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Wanted to get through some more of these. Daytime Degenerate wanting to know what were Paul Carr's soccer plays for the day. Did Paul Carr have a play in the Champions League today? By the way, Paul Carr went 2-0 yesterday with his Champions League plays. He did call Real Madrid, and he had the under in the Inter Milan game as well. So he hit both of those, and his play of the day, remember, he only had one today. He has the under in the Inter-Benfica game, under 2.5 goals. That was his official play today. He says, if you're feeling spicy, Benfica to win at plus 250 or better, but the total is his official play of the day. Jamie Leva, producer not knowing who Arvidas Sabonis is hurts. Damn, I'm old. Well, why it's a youngin'. You don't know Arvidas.
Oh, I'll be 30 next year.
He's not my Vetus. He's not your Vetus. He's our Vetus. Duke of the South. Would Draymond Green make a good coach after his playing days are done? Interesting question. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know. What happens if he gets mad at the refs? Elvis Toes Patterson fan. Gilly, some forward from the Jets. He's talking about Morgan Barron. Took a skate to the face last night and got 75 stitches. Came back a period later. Some of these NBA guys could take a lesson from these NHL players. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. Let's talk to Mike Pritchard. He is a VSiN host, former first-round draft pick in the National Football League, and, of course, national champion at the University of Colorado. How you doing, Mike?
I'm great. You know, I think hockey players are linebackers on ice anyway. So the mentality that those guys have, I mean, come on, a skate to the face and you're back out there. Yeah, that is different.
It is different. They're built different. Yes. If you got 75 yes. stitches to the face, when would be the next time we would see Mike Pritchard?
Oh man. Probably I'd be out for the rest of the year, man. To be honest with you, 75 stitches to the face, you know? Yeah. Those things don't heal quickly. Hockey players, but they have shifts though, right? It's not like they're out there for an 8-minute drive or anything like that. They have shifts. So I think you can suck it up for a couple minutes on the ice at a time.
A different angle on getting 75 stitches.
Right.
All right, real quick, because you're a wideout, I'm not suggesting this is going to move any betting markets, but the Steelers, according to Adam Schefter, making a move to get Allen Robinson. If Robinson passes his physical, the Steelers will get Robinson in a 7th-round pick. The Rams will get a 7th-round pick in return. They're just going to swap the 234th and 251st picks in the draft. Is that just a, hey, Kenny Pickett, we just want to give you all the tools we can give you to have success move?
You know what? I think it's leadership in room. Think about Green Bay last year, Gil, when you have Aaron Rodgers and then you have a young group of wide receivers right there that he could not relate with. Communication, miscommunication, just a disconnect, right? Now I think, you have a young group of talented receivers with a young quarterback, which I thought Pittsburgh should have started the clock on a lot sooner than they did going with Trubisky a little bit too long there. But now you bring a veteran in that room, a guy who's been around the league a little bit to kind of show the young pups how to prepare, how to get out there, how to practice, how to be a pro, because I think Pickens and, Johnson, even all those guys could use a veteran presence in terms of that substance, right? And also, that's going to help the quarterback. I was on record last year saying, okay, either Pittsburgh is going to surprise a lot of people during the season this year, once Pickett got in there, or this coming season in 2023, look out for Pittsburgh. And I mean, it's a cultured division. We know that Tomlin's all about culture. It's a plug and play situation when they have players out there. They identify players to replace if they have to, Gil. So yeah, I think Pittsburgh has a chance to click on all cylinders later on this year.
Jalen Hurts, 5 years at a clip of $51 million a year, if you average it out.
Right.
So $255 million total. The biggest contract in the history of the NFL, obviously the Eagles in the Super Bowl last year. And Jalen Hurts has done everything they could possibly, the Eagles could have possibly hoped in him, making him a second-round draft pick 3 seasons ago. And then there's Lamar Jackson, who obviously is with you know, has had this battle, this dispute, if we can call it that, with the Ravens contract dispute, but the Ravens end up tagging him, and he's going to be locked in at the low cost, low in quotes, of just north of $30 million a year, but this is not what he wanted. He wanted more than this. Could the Jalen Hurts signing, because I don't hear enough people talking about this, in your opinion, make him mad enough or upset him enough that he would just take his toys and go home for the year?
And not sign the tender and just sit out a year? I mean, I that's a big risk, in my opinion, because I think, and if he had an agent, he would know this, to be honest with you, Gil. I think the owners are in the league, they're all in lockstep in terms of Lamar Jackson, you know? And yeah, I know that he wants this guaranteed contract, and I know the parameters around this totally, fully guaranteed contract surrounds or is because of Deshaun Watson. He's got to get off of that, to be honest with you. I mean, this one thought process to have one team be unique enough and foolish enough to give a contract like that to Deshaun Watson. You're not going to find, I don't believe, you know, out of the 31 other remaining teams, a team willing to do that. So how can you make the most amount of money during your time in the National Football League? One, you got to play the game off the field like you do on the field. You got to understand what these owners are all about. If it's $32 million right now that's fully guaranteed for you, you need to find a way to up your dollars. If that's going out on the field and winning another MVP or leading your team to the playoffs or pass that into the Super Bowl, then you'll get paid. I mean, that's how these owners have worked for decades, and I don't see that changing anytime soon, Gil.
All right, let's go to the draft. I just thought it needs to be aired. Someone needs to voice it, because if it happens, it shouldn't be like the biggest, most massive surprise. It is a possible outcome. I don't think it's going to happen with Lamar walking away,
right,
but you never know. All right, the draft 8 days away. You are still of the mind Jaxon Smith-Njigba will be the first wide receiver drafted. Would he be if you were a GM?
If I was a GM, yeah, because I think he's the most complete player at that position in this year's draft. I think he gives you more for your offense right away. I think he's out of the box, ready to go, ready to suit up and step on the field and contribute. You know, Zay Flowers is more of a gadget guy. He doesn't have Tyreek Hill's speed, even though he has Tyreek Hill's size, right? But he is a shifty player. You can see him as a returner. I think he'll do some fantastic things like that as a rookie. Addison, you know, I still think he has more development to go. Same thing with Quentin Johnson. He's a body catcher, and so he negates his 6'3 frame. You know, if he learns how to catch the ball away from his body, now all of a sudden you're introducing catch radius, and that will really help out Quentin Johnson, who has an upside. I think his ceiling is pretty high. Same thing with Jalen Hyatt, who I think he's got a high ceiling. But as far as betting, you know, Smith and Jigba, you have Wilson, you have Olave, you have bias and recency bias here with Ohio State receivers. So that's why I think it makes a lot of sense that he'll be the first wide receiver drafted in this year's draft.
As you look at all 32 teams, well, 31, pardon me, because the Dolphins don't have a first round pick. What is the position to team? Because you can bet on the draft this way too. First position to be drafted by Team X. What's the team and position that you think is most in lockstep, that you think this team absolutely will have to draft this position first?
I'm thinking, this is a tough one because you have Jalen Carter out there, but I'm thinking there's going to be a run on cornerbacks. I've been talking about that with you for a while.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense for Detroit because they traded Okuda. And you're thinking about the cornerback position and the type of corners that are in this year's draft. That's to me in lockstep, in my opinion. I mean, Jalen Carter is a wild card, and I've been searching. I've saw, anywhere from plus 400 at one point with him in terms of specific teams as well. But that to me is a wild card on where a lot of teams can be so different in this year's draft. I think we're going to see a ton of trades, to be honest with you, Gil.
You think, I mean, again, this is the $64,000 question, as they used to say. It's the one that everybody, if Carolina does take Bryce Young, it's an if, because again, Carolina said last night, we haven't said anything yet. The Houston options are this, right? The Houston options are, if they get wowed by a trade, they make a trade. Then it's probably for a quarterback from whoever's trading up. But if they don't, and they stay there, the latest buzz is a defensive player, but they can't pass on a quarterback, can they?
Well, these quarterbacks, I mean, Anthony Richardson and all the hype, but he still needs more development. I think Will Levis needs more development. C.J. Stroud, for whatever reason, people are suggesting that he needs more development. We're in a day and age, Gil, where size doesn't matter. I don't buy it either.
Yeah.
But we're in a day and age where size doesn't matter because the league is about to draft a 5'10 quarterback, number one overall, which does not make sense at all when this is – this is all about the bigger, stronger, faster athlete.
Wyatt, size doesn't matter. Mike Pritchard, pro tip of the show. Size doesn't matter. He just said
it. For us 5'10 people, this is a great day.
Mike Pritchard said it. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right, good.
Thank you.
Take care.
Yep. Mike Pritchard, everybody. M.I. Pritchard. M.I. Pritchard on the Twitter machine. We'll come back with Will Hill, baseball and football next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Splitting bets.
There you go. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Wyatt, I was about to murder you because I was like, you got one job if you missed your cue there.
This is what I look forward to every time I produce with you.
Just that moment?
Just that moment. I was going to sing, but I was like, I don't know if I got the vocals ready yet.
Mm. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have one child, it's a blessing. If you have two, it's very awesome because your first child will now have a sibling. If you have three, it's like, oh, this is interesting. This is getting interesting. And if you have four, you're just showing off. Just showing off after the birth of his fourth child. It's Will Hill, everybody. Oh, no Will Hill? We don't have Will Hill? Oh, it's such a great intro, too. Oh, now we got Will Hill. Here you are, Will. How you doing, Will? Nice to talk to you. Congratulations.
I appreciate it, man. They don't call me the Antonio Cromartie of VSiN for no reason.
Except for the fact that it's all with your lovely wife. So it's not a good comparison, Will. Let's be honest. Yes?
True. That is true. Everything's good. Everyone's healthy.
Congratulations.
Took a little
man.
Longer than we were hoping. Yeah. Had a lot of time in the hospital to listen to VSiN. I don't know if you know this or the viewers of VSiN know this, but Matt Brown has a golf betting podcast. It's not really advertised that much, but I got to check it out. It's called Long Shots.
Really? It's also the inflection of it. It's called Long Shots. He does it very quickly. So it gets it sort of blazoned into your brain. First of all, let me just say this, Mazel Tov, first thing. Second thing, you just had a child, and you're here talking betting. How does that go over with the rest of the family? And by the rest of the family, I mean with your lovely wife. How does that go over? It's fine. She likes you talking betting this quick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Right. Look, the show goes on. They're still at the hospital, so I actually have to do some parenting here. They are still at the hospital, so I'm the man of the house for once, and it's good.
Okay. Well, again, we're all very happy for you. We met your lovely family here. Some months ago, so congratulations on the addition. He's not above talking betting. The wife's still in the hospital, so we have Will nonetheless. I don't know, I find this so amusing that he's just, I'll talk some betting, no problem. It's all old hat for him. Let's talk NBA first. Knicks and Cavs knotted up at one game apiece. You have a series bet you like now on this.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tale as old as time. A team steals game one on the road, they get rolled in game two. It didn't surprise me yesterday. But I think that's going to be a very tough place for the Cavs to win at Madison Square Garden. The Knicks, I think, are a deeper team. The Cavs really only have four guys that are playable. So I do think home court will probably hold up throughout. I made a bet Knicks plus 500 to win in six. I'm going to stick to that. I think Knicks win both at home. Cavs win in game five, and then the Knicks wrap it up in game six. I do think the Cavs, some issues offensively. I don't know that, you know, that they're young, Mobley and Garland. I think the Knicks are just a little more experienced, a little deeper, and now they have home court. So I wasn't surprised with what happened yesterday. And I think the Knicks will be moving on. That will be a crazy Garden crowd Friday night. I think is game three. That team, they've been in the second round once in the past 25 years, which, look, growing up, they were in the second, third round every single year for like 12 years. So the fact that they've only been in the second round once, and those Knicks fans, New York, they love basketball. They love their Knicks. So that'll be a wild crowd. I expect the Knicks to hold serve here.
Yeah, it's Maple Leafs-esque, if you will, in that respect, right? Leafs haven't been to the second round since 2004, but the Knicks only once in a greater time span. Tonight, three games, one of which is the Bucks. Giannis is doubtful. They're 6-point favorites against the Heat. Again, the Heat, you know, for those of us who had the Bulls in game on the money line, the last play-in game, the Friday night one to determine who was the eighth seed. Wow, did that change quickly when the Heat went on a 15-1 run late to win that game and just win it going away. Then they get the Giannis injury. They're up 1-0. We're showing Bucks consensus 6.5. You like the Bucks here tonight?
I do. Look, I don't have any intel. I think Giannis plays. It's a bone bruise. It doesn't sound like there's anything functionally wrong with it, just pain tolerance. I think there's a very good chance this is just some gamesmanship here. And if he doesn't play, I probably have a fair bet. I still think Milwaukee, like I mentioned with the Cavs last night, when you steal game one on the road, usually you get run over in game two. So I do think even without Giannis, the Bucks have a good chance to win this game and win it with some margin. If Giannis plays, this is obviously a home run bet. And I do think Giannis plays tonight. I don't get the sense. I just don't buy the fact that he's going to sit out here. If they go down 0-2 going back to Miami, I wouldn't count him out. But that's a tough spot to be in if it's just a pain tolerance thing. Giannis usually plays through these things. So I do like the Bucks. I did bet a minus 230 on the series too, so I really do hope he plays. I will say this. If he doesn't play, look at a Jimmy Butler over points prop because they won't have anyone really to guard him that matches up. They won't have Giannis. Wes Matthews, which is sort of an under-the-radar issue, usually guards him. Holiday's not big enough to match up with Butler. So if he doesn't play, I would look for Butler over points. But again, I think there's a decent chance Giannis plays here.
Yeah, you went with bruise. It's a contusion, which is like a fancy bruise, though. Would you not concede that?
Boy, I mean, I'll take your word for it. Sure. I mean, it's not anything that's going to threaten him like long term. So again, I think he might play here.
Yeah, I mean, well, we'll see. I mean, right? Like, who knows what anything with the back? You just never know if it lingers or not. But you could very well be right. He could be in the lineup, and
more tailbone.
Yeah, more tailbone. But have you ever like had a snowboarding accident where somebody like lands on their tailbone, like they walk around like they're 50,000 years old at that point? You know, so I don't know. We'll see. So you like the Bucks, given the points. Will gave six, so in six and a half, shop around, of course. And then tomorrow night, no Draymond. Draymond with a suspension. We know how this went last time for the Warriors back in 2016 in the finals against Cleveland. A lot of Warriors fans still look back at that and are like, that's why we, quote-unquote, lost. That's what Warriors fans will say. He's out. Total's high, 239. You're saying not high enough.
I'm going to go over. I just don't think there's anyone even close to Draymond defensively that can replace him. He's so important to their defense. They don't have a replacement. And you're going to have to replace him with a guy who's a shooter on offense. So they'll probably have to play small ball. So it probably helps both sides of the floor. I know he's important on offense, even though he doesn't score. But if you replace him on defense with a poor defender, if you replace him on offense with more of a shooter, you're probably going to just have to chuck a bunch of threes. And I think both these teams have shot the three poorly. The Warriors, I think 23 of 90 from three so far in this series. Man, 90 threes in two games is a ton of threes. So they're due to shoot a little better, especially at home. The Kings haven't really shot the three well either. So I think we'll get some better three-point shooting here from both teams. No Draymond. I'm going to go over here. I think the Warriors win, but this game, this series has given me, really since the beginning, it's given me sort of Lakers-Mavs. Remember that series in 2011? The Lakers had been to three straight finals. Mm-hmm. They won two straight championships. They were big favorites. They sort of let game one and two get away, and before you know it, they're getting run out of the building. With these dynasties, it often ends with a thud. It often ends a little quicker than you expect. I can also remember a Cowboys home game in the playoffs with Aikman that went but I think it was the Arizona Cardinals were still in the NFC East for some reason. They went into Dallas as big favorites and with Jake Plummer and just rolled Dallas. Sometimes these things end with a thud. I get weird vibes here with this Warriors team.
Yeah, the Dallas team in 2011, of course, went on to win it all against the decision Miami Heat, the year after the decision, the first year of LeBron with the Miami Heat. So we'll see if that analogy extends.
I think there were dogs in every series in that year, too.
Yeah, sure were. What a team that was, though. Okay, baseball, early part of the baseball season, but there's always adjusted season win totals. There's yes-no playoffs bets that are still out there, despite it being super-duper early. Let's talk about a yes and a no. The Marlins are 10-8 right now in third place in the NL East. You have a bet here.
Yeah, I know some people gave him out. I think it was Jason Weingarten gave him out under, and I usually respect his stuff enough to tail it a lot of the times. I just thought they had too much pitching to go under, so I stayed away from it. But to me, at minus 255 to miss the playoffs, that's a buy price for me. I mean, the Mets, Braves, you give the division to the Braves, Mets are probably still going to get a spot. I still think it'll be Dodgers, Padres in the West. Loser could probably get a spot. That only leaves one wild card spot available, right? So, look, I mean, Diamondbacks are really good. We can get to them in a minute. I think they're legit. When it's all these teams for one spot, you still have the Phillies out there. You still have, let's assume the Brewers win it, the Cardinals out there. I just don't think this Miami team's a playoff. So I think minus 255 to miss is a good bet. I know you have to tie up your money to October at best here to get it back, but I do think that's a good bet.
What about the Diamondbacks, who currently lead the NL West with an 11-7 record?
And they've done it against the good schedule. They've had a bunch of games against the Dodgers, against the Padres. They're in St. Louis. They won the first couple games there. To me, they've got a lot of young, good offensive players. They've got some pitching, obviously, with Gallen at the top and some younger arms up the pike that they could bring in. I think at plus 300 to make the playoffs, I think this is a good bet. Dodgers and Padres, you know, I think the Dodgers certainly are not as good as they've been in past years. The Padres, I would think, would turn around, but they have plenty of issues in their rotation. I think the Diamondbacks can hang around and at least get a wild card spot. I didn't look at their division price. I don't think they'll get to the 95-plus wins that you'll need to win the division, but I do like them to make the playoffs at plus 300.
Yeah, you're definitely not a Dodgers believer this year. I've noticed that about you here early on. No plays on any of the games today, though? We leave with that? Nothing?
I took the Mets. It's a double revenge game. Syndergaard against the Mets. There's no love lost there. And Max Scherzer against his old team, the Dodgers, which I don't think the Dodgers love him either with sitting out. At least their fans don't. But I played the Mets at minus 130, I think it was.
Yeah, keep an eye on Scherzer's velo as well here early in the season. Will, in all seriousness, congratulations. We appreciate you coming on the show nonetheless, sir, despite all going on in your life. Thank you, man.
I mean, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Will Hill, and not the Will Hill. Plug it real quick.
Twitch.tv/GoldBoysNetwork.
There it is. Matt Brown, football and golf next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show host and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99. at VSiN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek, in for the vacationing Kelly Bidlin. Kelly be back on Monday. You're back on Friday, too, with us?
We'll be Friday. You got Brian Ortega.
Brian Ortega. 2 hours of Oscars talk tomorrow. Can't wait.
This is going to be
Oscars 2024.
Must-see TV.
Speaking of other media, you know what documentary I'm watching on Netflix? This has nothing to do with anything, but I have a documentary recommendation, non-sports betting recommendation. The Boston Marathon, it's American Manhunt, the Boston Marathon bombing. It's a 3-episode docuseries on the tragic events of the bombing at the Boston Marathon back in 2013. It is riveting. I'm like halfway through, and it occurs to me how little I actually knew about the details about how they caught these guys. It's an amazing story. So if you're into something else, before all the games start today, well, it's baseball all day. But if you're not betting baseball and you want to watch something else prior to the basketball and the hockey, I love putting the in between those, the basketball and the hockey, you get my full recommendation. Matt Brown joins us, ladies and gentlemen. He's kind enough to join us on the show this morning. Co-host of The Handle here on the network. You follow him on Twitter at MattBrownM2. How you doing, Mateo? What's happening, man?
I'm doing well. Technology failed me this morning. 3 minutes before we go on air, internet goes down. Trying to reset the router. Router doesn't want to cooperate. I don't know what's going on with it. Gil, my cell phone reception doesn't work all that great anymore, depending on where I am in town.
Really?
We're going to hell in a handbasket here, buddy.
What's happening to you? You're falling apart, man.
I don't know.
Oh my God.
And then I'm sitting here listening to you. I think we're going to get some feel-good recommendation, maybe something make me laugh a little bit. You know what I'm watching? The Boston Marathon bombing. And I'm like, oh, okay, great, great. Thanks, Gil. But yeah, way to get my Wednesday started here.
Yeah, not exactly a pick-me-up, but fascinating nonetheless. All right, if I know Matt Brown, I know that he probably let me do a Matt Brown prediction. He probably takes a golf tournament like the Zurich Classic, and he probably says to himself, self, I love golf, and I love betting golf, but this might not be my bag this week. Is that true or false?
You are 100% true. I mean, it's these golf tournaments, too. We talk about it all the time. The way that I like to handicap tournaments and the way that I like to go in and use the modeling and all the things like that, doesn't really play for this tournament when you have the pairings and stuff like that. And there's a lot of just kind of variables that go into this that I can't quantify. And so with that, it's okay. I mean, you know this even, you're on the tennis grind. Like whatever, it can be a grind. It is a grind. There's tournaments all the time. And so it's okay to take one off every now and then or just, put in some bets for, a sweat or something. But just understand that, this is my, I call this the tournament where I'm okay if my ROI is zero. I'm okay knowing that I'm going into this one, and if the ROI is zero, it is what it is. But there's just no real way to go into this feeling super, super confident, other than knowing that the top guys are the top guys for a reason. You have four of the top 13 players in the world that are paired together at the top of this board here, and so it's just very tough, right? So I'm going to take it on. I think it's fun. We'll watch it. It's a course that I've actually played a few different times because it's down there in New Orleans, so that's fun for me. But outside of that, hey, man, let's just let's move on.
All right. And last thing real quick, your multi-model golf strategy this year is working well generally, though, going from one model to multiples?
Yeah. I mean, we've hit a few outrights already this season. We've also had some pretty good lurkers as taking that back to the primetime action days. We have some good lurkers that are going on, and listen, when you get some lurkers at some bigger numbers too, you can always position yourself to where you can make some money.
Yeah.
So it's been good so far. So I'm so far so good. A lot of time left, obviously, but we'll see. If it would take a hellaciously horrible run for this not to be a profitable golf season already.
There you go.
We'll see. Let's try to not have that come to fruition.
Love it. And love lurkers on a leaderboard as well. It's always a great thing when people lurk. All right, NFL draft, 8 days away. How are you feeling about this one? Like, if you compare, if you go back in your mind and you're like, let me think where my mind was 8 days prior roughly to previous drafts and previous years, what is your sense of this one? Do you have less of a handle, more of a handle, or about the same?
Yeah, I mean, certainly this one has been a little bit more difficult for me than the last 3 years where we had just so much success and some of the things just seemed like, sometimes they say obvious things are obvious for a reason. And we were sitting there kind of just putting stuff together and reading the tea leaves and we're like, this is just how this is going to play out. And it certainly did just go about playing out that way. And I guess I'm a little less confident in some of the stuff going into this draft right now. I mean, I just don't know exactly what's going to happen to that number three pick, specifically that number three pick. I was pretty confident for a while we were just going to have four quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4. And then, now you've got this stuff about maybe the Cardinals don't want to trade out of that third pick. And even though I think it's probably what's best for their franchise, Gil, it's the same thing that we've been preaching for 3 years on this network when it comes to draft betting. It doesn't matter what you and I think. It doesn't matter what we think is best or whatever. It matters what that GM thinks.
That's right.
It matters what that owner thinks. And so whether I think they should get more draft capital because they have no players and it's probably better to pick up additional draft picks, it doesn't really matter what I think. And so I think it's becoming more and more likely they might actually hold on to this thing, which is going to give me a loser right out of the gate because I have the over on 3.5 on Will Anderson that I thought was, at the time when I made the bet, a lock, and it doesn't look like that's the case anymore.
Well, so does that mean you think that the Texans will, if they're not wowed by a trade, that they will take Will Anderson at 2? Is that what you're thinking, or that'll be the Cardinals at 3?
Yeah, I think the Cardinals at 3 end up taking Will Anderson. And as I just get done saying, it doesn't matter what I think, but I think just this is more or less what I think and more what needs to happen for a franchise to have any sort of success in the NFL, which is, you know, if the Texans pass on a quarterback at two here, Gil, and you go back into the season with Davis Mills, like, you basically have to go into the season knowing that you're going to tank yet again, because there's only two surefire quarterbacks that are going in the first round next year, and Caleb Williams and Drake May. And like everyone else, there's others, you know, that could end up making their way into the first round, but there's really only two surefire guys that are going to go in the first round. So if you're the Texans and you pass on a quarterback this year, you basically have to go in to the season thinking like, well, we're going to need another top two pick, like another top three pick, in order to get a quarterback for this franchise. So I just don't know if you can do that. Listen,
I don't think you can.
The Seahawks were going to be terrible.
Yeah.
You know, like we thought the Seahawks were going to be terrible this year. They weren't. Like, some of these teams just sneak into wins every now and then and stuff. So I don't know. I think it would be malpractice for them not to take a quarterback and try to start building there, but who knows, you know?
Who knows? So someone's landing on the draft right now. They're like, okay, I don't have any draft bets, but I'm coming to all the markets right now. I want to make a draft bet. What is out there right now that you think might be a good play?
I think we are getting to the point in which it looks to me like these over-unders, whenever they open, there is some value on those over-unders. Now, they get beat into shape pretty quickly because there are, you know, as we know, there are some very sharp draft bettors out there that live in these rest of country markets, and are able to get at these things way quicker than you and I. But man, I look at some of these over-unders that land, and if you have a decent idea of kind of the outs, and we talk about the outs, like, you know, how many spots is it legitimately a landing spot for the guy if you're looking at an under bet? And if there's not very many outs there, then you know, betting the over is always going to be the proper way to go with all that. And I think that there are some of these that are coming out where you can really take advantage of those as soon as they hit. So, I mean, where we sit right this second, I don't really know if there's one that I love, other than maybe the fact that Stroud is now plus money to go to, and I still think he goes to. But the over-under bets, as soon as they hit, if you have an idea of kind of where these guys are going to go in the draft board or where you believe they're going to go in the draft board, I think there's some real value in those. But you got to get them within the first, you know, 6 hours,
yeah,
where they're going to get whittled into shape pretty quick.
I say that all the time. If you're not first, you're last, really, with these. You got to be there quick on these. So Stroud, by the way, plus 275 at DraftKings to go number two. I'll leave you with this then, 45 seconds here, because I asked this of Pritch earlier, because you can bet it this way too. What team, what position is Team X going to draft first? What position and team do you feel is the most of a match right now?
I do not think the Colts are going to pass on Anthony Richardson. I just don't think they're going to do it. I think that there is, listen, I understand that the floor is probably like a bottom five quarterback in the NFL. I get that. But when you look at the intangibles, the stuff that you can't teach, and then if he can even have any sort of kind of Josh Allen renaissance from the accuracy standpoint, you instantly go from the floor being a bottom five quarterback to the ceiling being kind of a top 5 to 8 quarterback in the NFL. And when you're building and you're the Colts and you've just been using all these retreads over and over and over again, Gil, I just don't think they're going to be able to pass on him.
Okay. Colts and a quarterback at four. Anthony Richardson, perhaps specifically. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. Hope you can get better.
Have a good one, Gil. Good luck, buddy.
You too. In contact with the world with your technology. We'll come back. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke on Baseball and Beyond. Next, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Bainbridge Deweese I like what Pritch said about the Steelers. Plus, did you know Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season? I did not know that. Joe at JFed Forever, I think. Does Mr. First Round Leader, Sia Najad, who you just had on talking golf, have a Twitter? Would love to follow him. Yes, at Sia Najad. That's S-I-A-N-E-J-A-D. And then this one is for Jason Weingarten, who joins us now. Steven Vegas, love the opinion of you and Jason on yes run first inning. Juice has moved significantly. Rarely is plus money available. And yes run first inning cashing at a huge percentage. Is it time to zig when books are zagging and bet no runs first inning or just lay the juice? Sorry if this makes Jason's head explode live on air. Well, let's find out, ladies and gentlemen, if we will have a live explosion of a cranium on air. It's Jason Weingarten from Under Cloud of Smoke in Southern Cali at Spreadopedia. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. Nice to talk to you.
You too. What do you make of that right there?
You know, I think there's a misconception that you only take these when they're plus money, which is not necessarily true. Mm-hmm. There could be a lot of value still, you know, on lane 110, 120, even, you know, 135, if you know what you're doing. I think it's just a misconception that you could only do this when laying plus money. It helps. You know, don't get me wrong. It always helps to lay, you know, to take plus money on anything. But there's still value to be had. It just means you have to be more selective.
Just have to be more selective. It was never a blanket thing. It was never a blanket.
Yes, never. That's another one of the misconceptions, I think, for both the yes and the no score is people think they have to bet these, you know, every day. Or, you know, if you win one at, you know, you win one early in the afternoon, that you got to go back up on the night game. And that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah. By the way, I don't usually interrupt a guest with a sort of a side here, but Daniel Jeremiah, who we're all waiting for all of his mock drafts for the NFL draft. For those of us who bet the draft, he doesn't have a new mock draft out, but he just randomly tweeted, if Trey Lance gets traded to Houston, and then he quickly says, no info here, pure speculation, it would clear up the direction of the top of this draft. How interesting that he would randomly tweet, if Trey Lance gets traded to Houston, hey, I got nothing here. No, I'm just speculating. Are you betting the draft at all, Jason? Do you bet it at all?
I used to bet the draft a lot more. I think the last time I did it was the COVID year when there was, you know, nothing going on, or the last time I did it for a ton of money. Remember, it was Clyde Tolaire. First running back was like 22-1 or something crazy. But in general, at this point, no, I don't bet a ton of money on the draft just because there's so many people doing it and so much attention, you know, being paid to it, that I don't think I have the edges I once had in this market.
Yeah, it's a squirrely one this year for sure. But we've been talking about what are the Texans going to do with the number two pick, as so many have all morning long. And then Jeremiah randomly tweeting that, which is curious, interesting.
I'm most interested in Aaron Rodgers because they keep saying they're going to make a deal, but, you know,
are you starting to worry
and do it if you're going to do it?
Are you starting to worry that this is a stalemate that will not be overcome?
Well, no, I'm not worried as a Packers fan because the Packers already made up their mind and moved on. If I was a Jets fan, I'd be a little bit worried. If I was a 49ers fan, I'd be a little bit intrigued at this situation because I think, you know, the 49ers are a natural landing spot for Aaron Rodgers as well. And he has ties to the Bay Area and everything. So, you know, crazier things have happened. I don't think it's a lock to the Jets.
Wow, could you imagine? Jets fans would be crestfallen. All right, full day, Major League Baseball. Beginning, a little over an hour from now. What have you bet, sir?
Yeah, I got a couple bets today. I like this getaway day. I'm enjoying this season a lot. I think it's been a good season so far. I bet the Marlins. Marlins under 8, minus 115. No team total there. I took the full game under today. Other than that, I took the Braves over 9, even money. And later on this evening, we got a Cubs A's game from Oakland. I think, actually, it's an afternoon game. Sorry, my bad. But the first inning yes score there is plus 105, plus 110. You're going to keep creeping up. If you can get anything over plus 105, I think it's worth a nice play there.
Worth a nice play. We were batting this around. The Athletics, just horrific. What are they, 3-15 now?
3-15.
If you did the whole on-pace thing, it'd be less than 30 wins. So I'm just, the adjusted season win total, when I looked at it yesterday, it was 55.5. I didn't look this morning, just full disclosure. What's, what's too low? Like, are we even close to being low enough at this point?
I mean, just like theoretically, it's hard to envision a team winning 40 games over the course of a Major League Baseball season. If somebody's going to do it, it's going to be this Oakland A's team. It's just horrendous. You know, they don't have the talent to compete with you know, the real teams in this league at this point. And, you know, it's a joke. Their payroll is the same as it was 20 years ago. It's sad. But yeah, 55 is probably, you know, it's kind of one of those things I say, there's no margin for error when you're taking like a under at 55, but I'm willing to consider taking that number, seeing what we've seen out of this team. I don't see the upside here this season.
Willing to consider. All right. You mentioned Braves Padres earlier. Spencer Strider, we were texting back and forth about him. Can you reiterate the exchange you had with Borchardt? You and Borchardt do a BetUS show together. And just quantify Spencer Strider for us. Yeah.
I was saying on air with Mark that Spencer Strider was like, well, I'm like, well, he's not Randy Johnson. And Mark cut me off and he's like, well, actually, if you look at his numbers, you know, he's got like a 40% strikeout rate. He's actually slightly better than Randy Johnson. And they went through the numbers and kind of, you know, and it's a cross era thing. So obviously you can't totally, you know, compare one decade to another decade. But his point was absolutely correct, is, you know, no matter what I say about Spencer Strider and how many times I end up fading him, he puts up Randy Johnson numbers more often than not. And I was lucky. I had the over yesterday, and they still got there. Braves got there pretty much all by themselves. But he's good.
Well,
maybe
he's good. Well, let's talk about this for a second, because remember, he got snubbed, as some would say. You had the Michael Harris ticket as well, so you didn't necessarily feel he was snubbed. But it was between Harris and Strider last year. It went to Harris, the everyday ball player. Do you think? And I brought this up once, I think, before with you. Do you think in an NL Cy Young vote that there might be some lingering sentiment about that, that perhaps it would sway a vote or two or 10, where people are like, yeah, you know what? We didn't give him the Rookie of the Year last year. Maybe all things being equal, we should give this to Strider if it came to that.
We're like 180 or so innings away from having to worry about conversations like that for Cy Young. The thing with the Cy Young compared to the other awards is all the numbers are there and all the data is there and everything. And absolutely, Spencer Strider is probably the front runner at this point, either him or Urias. And, you know, Strider is going to be one of those guys like Verlander last year for me, where, you know, I'm aware I'm fading him, and if he's going to beat me, he's going to beat me. But I think that's one of the things, one of the inefficiencies in the awards markets in general, is that it overvalues younger players. Like, this is a second year pitcher, and I'd have to look to see the recent numbers on second year pitchers winning Cy Youngs, but, you know, second year players winning Cy Youngs and MVPs, you see like Adley Rutschman, Wander Franco, Julio Rodriguez, guys, you know, really high up the MVP board, for example. You know, Mike Trout didn't win the MVP his second season. It's very hard to do. It's not impossible, but, you know, I think a lot of times the markets tend to overrate the performance of young players and just expect a season one to season two jump or leap that is too great, that even the best players in history often don't jump that much their second season.
All right, real quick then, as we go out, the team here just 10% of the way through the season, either to the good or the bad, that you are willing to say even this early, you're like, oh, I might have gotten them completely wrong.
I would say I'm worried about the Brewers, but their pitching injuries make me think I'm on the right side of the no playoffs there. The Rockies, I thought the Rockies might be all right. I think, you know, every year I think they play well at home, and I watched a couple of their games and they've just been super disappointing. It's a really bad team. No surprise there, but it's a bad team.
All right, Jason, appreciate it as always, man. Enjoy the full slate of games.
Thank you. Yeah, I look forward. Full day of baseball. Always fun.
Full day of baseball. If you missed Jason's picks, vsin.com/picks for all VSIN subscribers. We've done all we can do. The Lombardi line is next. Enjoy from VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.